الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Maker, Creator and Sustainer of the Universe. We send darud and salam as we commence with tonight's lesson. We send darud and salam, salawat upon Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatibun Nabiyyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Khatibun Nabiyyin means that he is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidul Mursaleen means he is the greatest and the leader and chief of all the messengers, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came down for the guidance of mankind. Rahmatul Lil Alameen means he is the only one among the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been chosen by and given this title of being a mercy unto the whole of creation. All the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we will learn tonight, all of them are indebted to Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he has been designated as a mercy, rahmatul lil alameen, not only to mankind, not only to jinnkind, but to the entire creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning everything that exists in this entire universe, plants, animals, the heavens, the earth, that which is above the earth, that which is below the earth, that which exists in the heavens and elsewhere in this entire universe, all of them are thankful to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he has come as a mercy unto the entire creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other Nabi, no other Rasul was given such a title or such a designation or such an assignation. Tonight we are going back to an original slot. This slot that we are looking at on Monday evenings in summer after Isha, in summer after the Salah of Maghrib, and in winter after the Salah of Isha, has been our slot ever since I started teaching, which was in, going back a long time ago, it was in 1969. Can you imagine how long that is? I started to teach in the Muir Street Masjid 1969, and Haji Qasim, he was the one, Allahu Akbar, that was with me. We spent 8 years in Muir Street Masjid, and that was taking it from 1969 onwards until 1967. Then from there we moved over to the Masjid in Surrey Estate, and from there we went to Primrose Park, then we went to Bridgetown Masjid, and so forth and so on. We kept moving around, but imagine from 69 to 2009, a good 40 years has passed on the Monday evening slot, and that is one of the reasons that we have moved back to this particular slot of Monday evenings. So that is a little bit of background, historical background, as to the reason why we have chosen Monday evenings. Alhamdulillah, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have still been able to carry on with the series of lessons since then. We have had approximately 3,500 hours of recordings made. That's a long way that we have gone. And inshallah, we will still carry on as long as Allah wills with the slot. Let's see how far we can carry on. My health is not too good, but in any case, we have reverted to our original historical slot, and let's see how long we can carry on with this one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. I give you now the commencement. The subject we are dealing with is the seerah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which we are looking at those aspects in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that make him the most outstanding, prominent, elevated, eminent, final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was there at the beginning, he's there at the end. In other words, he was there when Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was chosen as the first, the father of mankind, also as the first messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. who was there? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Spiritually, of course, his soul was there, which is the more significant portion of a human life. It's the soul body rather than the body soul. On earth we are a body soul, and after we die we return and become soul bodies. Prior to being born in the womb of our mothers, we are soul bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the souls of mankind at a certain stage, right at the dawn of creation. At the time when Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created, the Quran is very explicit, the entire souls of all humans was assembled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were asked the question, will you recognize me as your maker and your creator? Will you attest to, will you believe in me as your maker and creator? And qalu bala, all the souls of mankind replied, O Allah, most certainly yes, undoubtedly yes, we will all accept you as our maker and our creator. We will worship only you as our one maker and creator, as our one Allah. All of mankind has been, therefore they say, genetically in the fitrah of each and every human being is there the belief in the acceptance and the worship, praying to one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, that will become manifest to the whole of mankind, that all of mankind has admitted to the acceptance and the belief and worship of one maker, creator, one Lord, one designer of the whole of mankind. All of mankind has been made by one maker and creator, one Rabb, and that is Rabbah, that is Allah Rabbul Izzah. So that is the start. I'm going back a little bit and giving you a bit of background as to the reason of these lessons. Then over the months we have gone through, we started actually in Rabiul Awwal, on the 14th of Rabiul Awwal, we started with these lessons, and we have done up till now 79 different aspects, facts that we have called it, factors which elucidate, which make clear the reasons why Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such an elevated and eminent and dignified messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do understand it doesn't mean that the other messengers are not so. All of them are eminent. All of them are great. All of them are the most elevated in the whole of mankind. But Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been chosen as their chief, their leader. He is therefore called Sayyidul Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him as the leader in the whole of mankind. And we are looking at those. As I said, we have done up till now 79 different aspects that show his prominence and his eminence. Let us do a summary of the last lesson that we had. And the last lesson we had here was on the Sunday morning of the 7th of June of the year 2009, that's 2 weeks ago, which was equivalent to the 13th of Jamadul Akhir or Jamadul Sani of the year 1430 after the Hijrah, and that was, as I say, on a Sunday. And we dealt with fact number 72 to fact number 79. Quick summary now, just to go over it. In fact number 72, we dealt with the fact that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam received wahi, meaning he received divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He received wahi, divine revelation, on Mount Sinai, where he received the Torah, the manuscripts of the Torah. He received it on Mount Sinai. He had gone there, and for 40 days he made i'tikaf there, after which he was given the Torah. He was handed the manuscript of the Torah. And he also received divine revelation, wahi, in the Sinai Peninsula. I remember 40 years of wandering there with the Yahud, wandering around in the Sinai Peninsula because of their irreverence. because of the election. You remember they took the calf and they began to worship the calf. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is on Mount Sinai, he's sitting in Etikaf, and yet these people here, the Yahud, go and they, all the gold they had brought with them when they escaped from Egypt, from the rule of the pharaohs of Egypt, the pharaohs of Egypt, when they, under the guidance and leadership of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, escaped from Egypt and made their way to the Sinai Peninsula, they were such a rebellious and disobedient people, which they are up to today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for 40 years they kept wandering and going around and around. But they also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. That was Nabi Musa alayhi salatu. But we learn that in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he received wahi, which is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously for 23 years from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became a Nabi and a Rasul when Jibreel alayhi salam visited him in the cave of Sur, Ghar Sur. Though the Kufa Hajj will know where the cave of Sur is, we walk up to there, climb up to there. Now it was in that cave that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam, came to him with Iqra, the revelation of Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Now at that time the divine revelation wahi procedure started, and for 23 years the entire Quran was gradually, stage by stage, revealed to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the case of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, I have just told you now, he received his Torah on Mount Sinai all in one go, not in phase. One go he received the whole of the Torah, and in the Sinai Peninsula he received some wahi there as well. But Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 23 years from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously received the wahi. And he was also spoken to directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the journey of Miraj at the Sidratul Muntaha. Now he is the only Nabi and Rasul who received that particular blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was fact number 72. Then we moved on last week to fact number 73. Fact number 73 is as follows, that 12 springs flowed out of the staff, the stick of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But on a certain occasion, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling with the Sahaba ikram, they couldn't find water in order to make wudu, to make salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the blessing that from the fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sprouted out, gushed out water as if coming out from a spring. From his fingers, water began to flow out, to gush out. And eventually so much water came out, it was enough for 80 people. Hadith states 70 to 80 people made wudu with the water that poured out from the fingers. They couldn't find water at all. How do they make wudu? How do they make? This was before the period of Tayammum. So 80 people, 80 Sahabas, made wudu with the water that gushed out from the fingers of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was fact number 73. In fact number 74, we did that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was declared as the Khalilullah, as the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam became known as Kalimullah, as one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once with his eyes, and he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once with his heart. A hadith I recited for you also with regard to this particular matter, that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his own eyes on one occasion, and he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his qalb, with his heart, on another occasion. No other Nabi, no other Rasul was given this blessing. Then we moved on to fact number 75, which is as follows. Nabi Musa alayhi salam crossed the Red Sea by the miracle of his staff, his stick, opening up the way for them, for him and his followers, the Bani Israel. However, after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many years later, the Sahaba ikram crossed the flooded Tigris River near Iraq to conquer Iraq in the face of heavy odds. I've already given it to you, so I'm only giving a summary. They crossed the river Tigris in order to conquer Iraq. That was a decision, and that was the capture of Madain. That was a battle of Madain that we spoke about there, and we have dealt with that at length. So we're not going to, that was factor number 75. Factor number 76 we looked at was Nabi Musa alayhi salam was blessed by being granted the holy land of Palestine. But Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with the keys to the treasures of the whole earth, of the entire earth. Subhanallah. And then I gave you an account of how soon after, during the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and soon after that, how country after country came into the fold of the Islamic Empire, all to the amazement how two dynasties, the Byzantine or the Roman dynasty, fell to the Muslims, and how the Persian dynasty or empire fell to the Muslimin. It is incredible, students of history, if you go through and read about the manner in which hardly, poorly armed Arabs coming from the desert were able to conquer two huge superpowers like the Greek, Byzantine, Roman, Italian Empire. Incredible. You cannot imagine it. Read the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, which is written by a non-Muslim. Read it, and you will see in there how this historian admits to the fact that it is incredible. Some ways it's impossible how these Muslims coming in from the desert were able to conquer the empire of the Romans, the Italian Empire, the most powerful in the world, and on top of it thereafter to conquer the Persian Empire. It's incredible. It is nothing short of a miracle. And he gives all the details of how this happened and the miracle that took place there. So that was factor number 75 that we had done, or it was 76. He was blessed by and granted the holy land of Palestine. Now we went on from there to factor number 77. Fir'aun assembled the magicians in his country in Egypt to contest with Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And he lost when the magicians that he had gathered there in his palace, they submitted graciously to the creator and maker of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. However, this and other miracles of the Anbiya's and the Rasuls of the Prophets were restricted to the time and zone of those particular prophets. Like Nabi Musa alayhi salam's miracle were for his time, subject of his time, and all the other Anbiya's also, those miracles belong to his time. However, the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an eternal one which will continue to be a miracle until the day of Qiyamah. And you know what that is? That is the Quran. This incomparable word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither man nor all of mankind, neither jinn nor all the jinns, neither man and jinn combined can ever produce anything like the Quran Majid. That is a Furqan. Nobody can produce it. Whether they do so singly, in groups, or as an entire nation or an entire species, They cannot produce anything comparable to the Quran. That is an everlasting miracle, eternal miracle of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was factor number 77. Factor number 78 was that there was a disciple of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. His name was Yusha ibn Nun. Yusha ibn Nun, the sun set for him due to some circumstance after the normal sun setting time. However, we learn that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping in his lap, so he did not want to disturb the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wake him up for Asr Salah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fast asleep and he felt he couldn't do it, he couldn't wake Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up after the sun had set. It was already time for Maghrib. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood why Sayyidina Ali did not wake him up, and he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Miracle upon miracle. What happened then? The sun went up into the sky a little distance. They made wudu and they made their asr salah, and then the sun set for a second time. So alhamdulillah, in this particular way we learn how on that particular occasion, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, they missed their Asr Salah, sun went up again on the horizon, and they made their Asr Salah, and then the sun set. On one day, two times. That is the miracle of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was factor number 77. 78, I think it was. Then factor number 79 is that there was another disciple of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. His name was Yusha ibn Luqt. The sun was halted for him, and then this, whatever he had to do, he did his prayers and so on, and then the sun set. But it was halted, not twice, but the sun remained on the horizon for a while until he had done whatever he had to do, and thereafter the sun set. But for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moon was split into two. So that was factor number 79. These are all facts that point to this particular factor of the eminence and the dignity that was enjoyed by and blessed to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We commence now with today's lesson. And today is the 15th of June of the year 2009. It is equivalent to the 21st of Jamadu Thani of the year 1430, and it is Monday evening. We have performed Salatul Isha with Jama'ah, and we commence now with this particular lesson, and we commence with factor number 80. This is how it goes. Today's lesson is very interesting, so listen carefully to the examples that I'm going to give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, factor number 80, which shows the eminence of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, the father of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. He was a very, very prominent and powerful ruler of his country, Mesopotamia. Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him or commanded him not to follow his nafs, not to follow his own opinions, his personal opinions when judging matters. Alright? And he shouldn't follow his own thoughts and his personal conclusions on any matter, for it would surely lead him astray. In the case of Rasulullah sallallahu, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. O Dawud, la tattabi'il hawa fayudhillaka an sabilillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, and this is in Surah Sa'ad, Surah number 38, ayat number 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, la tattabi'il hawa. Do not follow the desires of your heart or your mind, your hawa. Do not follow your hawa, Do not follow your heart or your mind, your desires. For they will mislead you from the path of Allah. فَيُدِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They will lead you away from the path of Allah. This was the command given to Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Now listen, in the case of Rasulullah. In the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, or commanded him, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Nor does he say anything out of his own desire. It is no less than inspiration, it is no less than divine revelation from Allah sent down to him, meaning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing that he does, nothing that he says is from his own desire, from his hawa. Nothing. وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O Dawud, you must not make any decision based on your hawa. When it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. My Nabi, my Rasul, does not say anything out of his own desire. Whatever he says, whatever he does, it is no less than divine revelation and divine inspiration that he receives from me. Not a word, not a single practice, not a single act of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from his own side. Everything was revealed or inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, this ayat is contained in Surah Najm, Surah number 53, ayat number 3. In this instance again, we see the tremendous facet of divine guidance and protection which Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. In all instances, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never did anything, said anything, acted in any way out of his own personal self or decision. This was the case because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not going to be allowed to have any successor, any prophet to come after him. For he was the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to entire mankind. And his teachings brought to an end divine revelation, where he came to an end with him. Thus, his every word and his every deed had to be perfect and complete. And so was the case, as is clearly stated. Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam was at a stage when he would be succeeded by successive prophets. So he is being merely reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exercise every care and every kind of precaution in his presentation to his people, in his judgment for his people, which every prophet did effectively carry out. This fact bears out also the finality and perfection of the deen of Islam. I hope we can appreciate this fact, that the reason why everything Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and did was in accordance with divine revelation or divine inspiration is because the deen was the final and the perfect deen. It was not going to be succeeded by any other teaching or any other religion or way after the deen of Islam and the final word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as contained in the Quran. This fact bears out also the finality and perfection of the deen of Islam and the awesome and elevated status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the remarkable position his ummah as the torch bearers of the deen of Islam, of the deen of Haqq have, and the immense duty and responsibility of propagating and preaching the deen of Islam to others. The reason why they have to do this, because their deen is perfect. It is also complete. So the Ummat-e-Muhammadiyya ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu have an immense task to carry out that responsibility of living their lives in accordance with Islam and to preach it and invite others towards it. For this to happen, the character, the bearing and the life of the Muslim Ummah has to be an exemplary and a lofty one. Otherwise, the consequences of their neglect shall be a bitter and a regretful one, both in the life of the grave and in the hereafter. Especially on the day of Qiyamah. We say this at the end, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from destruction and shame. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. That we carry out our responsibility that is upon us, that has been placed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That completes fact number 80. Now we proceed to factor number 81. And factor number 81 is as follows. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a special ring. And this ring of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam was capable of placing the jinns to compulsory labor under him whenever he so decided. If the ring was lost, then the power to compel the jinns to free labor would be lost. Such was the value of that ring of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. However, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam also had a blessed ring. The blessed ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam had the capacity to govern the hearts and the spirits of the ummah and to keep it in check and to keep the ummah united and undivided during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As long as the ring of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was peace and unity in the ummah of Muslimin. That is to say, among the Sahaba ikram. And they were free of internal discord, they were free of internal divisions, and they were free of all kinds of disruptions. However, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed ring of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu, first to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the first Khalifa of Islam, and then it went to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala as the second Khalifa of Islam, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ring went to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala as the third Khalifa of the Muslimin. During the Khilafat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the following incident took place. Now listen carefully to this. The following incident took place during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which reminded the Sahaba Ikram of the moment of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now to the mind of the Sahaba Ikram came that memory, a reminder of what had occurred when the janazah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ready for being carried away. After he had passed away, the janazah is now ready, ghusl has been made, kafan has been put on, and now they're about to take him away to bury him, so to say. They're about to move away. When they're about to do so, as they came close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahabas noticed that the lips of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were moving. So they bent near, and this is what they heard. They heard coming out from the lips of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the following words: Bi'ru aris wa ma bi'ru aris sawfa ta'lamun. These are three sentences. In other words, they heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the well of Aris. Do you know what is the well of Aris? You shall soon find out. In Arabic we say Bi'r Aris. Wama yadri Wama Bi'r Aris. Sufa ta'lamun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the well of Aris. What is the well of Aris? You will soon find out what it is. This the Sahabas heard. The Sahabas wondered what it meant. At that time they couldn't understand it. What did it mean? They had no clue as to what it was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to them. They knew it was important, very important, but they couldn't understand what was meant. The Sahabas wondered what it meant, but they had no clue as to its intention or as to its meaning. So they decided to let it go. During the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, did the intent, the meaning, and the extreme significance of these final words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of his janazah finally come to light? Then they understood what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to them at the time of his janazah. That finally came to light. Now I tell you what it was. This is how it happened. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and the blessed ring of Rasulullah, he had the blessed ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his finger. And he was seated at the well of Aris. There was a well there, and that well was the well of Aris. And while he was moving the ring around in his finger, as one normally does, he was moving the finger, the ring, around in his finger, he's sitting at the well, and he's moving the ring around in his finger. But what happens now is suddenly, the blessed ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came loose from his finger, and it fell into the well. He was sitting on the edge of the well, and he was playing with this, or moving this ring around. All of a sudden, the ring came off his finger, and it fell, not deliberately, without intent. It fell into the well. Suddenly, the blessed ring came loose and fell into the well. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and the Sahaba ikram were in a state of panic, and they were highly perturbed, very, very disturbed. And then several of the Sahaba ikram climbed down into the well to search for the ring of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but to no avail. They searched and they searched and they looked for the ring, but they simply couldn't find the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, they gave up hope, and they sat down near the well, depressed and saddened at the loss of the blessed ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Soon thereafter, the assassination of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala took place, and several other fitnas and fasad, meaning mischiefs, began to take place. At that point, the Sahabas understood the portent and the significance, the meaning of the blessed ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they grasped how this ring had held the unity and coherence of the Ummah, how it kept them and their spirits united and infused with peace and unity, and how they progressed spiritually in their remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also recalled the significant prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had said, إِذَا وَضَعَ السَّيْفُ فِي أُمَّتِي لَمْ يَرْفَعْ عَنْهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. When the sword is drawn against my ummah, then it shall not be lifted again from hanging over them until the day of Qiyamah, until the day of judgment. That hadith also they understood. Firstly, they understood when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lips moved and he said, Bir'aris, ma huwa bir'aris, sufa ta'lamun, they understood what he meant. That when this ring disappears, falls into the well of Aris, and it disappears, then you must know what is going to happen. Fitnas are going to commence. And this hadith is a wada as-sayfu fi ummati lam yarfa anha ila yawm al-qiyamah. They understood that when the sword, when oppression, when enmity over my ummah commences, then that enmity and that oppression against my ummah will not be lifted from my ummah until the day of Qiyamah. This is the hadith. So they then began to understand from the above extraordinary event and the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn of the major reason for the constant injustice, oppression, and the collusion between the enemies of the ummah to constantly create mischief and division and oppression and suppression among the Muslim ummah. The blessed ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has never been found. And such havoc and strife and making against the ummah shall continue to grow and escalate against the Muslim ummah till the day of Qiyamah. The tests which lie ahead are even more severe and tortuous and terrible than what we are experiencing today. The severity of the tests and trials that lie ahead for this ummah have been predicted and prophesied by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they struck fear even into the hearts of the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it to them. We can only make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the iman of our children in these trying and testing times, especially the times that lie ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the whole of this ummah from its enemies. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. We make this dua because, as I say, respected brothers and sisters, whatever we are experiencing today is nothing in comparison to what is yet to come. Build our iman and build the iman of our children, because I assure you that every prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is haqq. And the times which are coming and the tests and trials which this ummah is going to face is going to be terrible. Iman has to be extremely strong for us to withstand the tortures, the torments that is coming the way of this Muslim ummah. Remember this hadith? إِذَا وَضَعَ السَّيْفُ فِي أُمَّتِي لَمْ يَرْفَعَنْهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear that when the sword is lifted against my people, meaning when oppression and torture and torment and punishment starts against my ummah, when these tortures start, it is not going to end until the day of Qiyamah. So you can imagine what lies ahead. If those were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm saying to you, we believe it, that it is absolutely true. This ummah is going to face terrible calamities that lie ahead in the way of severe torture and torment at the hands of their enemies. That concludes fact number 81, and now we commence with fact number 82. Now listen to 82 carefully. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had been blessed with the gift of speaking to and of understanding the language of the birds, like the Hudhud bird that spoke to him and told him about Bilqis and so on and so on. That was in Yemen, far away. And how this bird Hudhud came and told him about that. So in any case, what I'm saying to you, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam could converse with the birds. He knew the bird language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. So what about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also blessed. You know how he was blessed? Let me give you examples. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with being able to talk to and to understand the language of various animals and birds. Animals and birds used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complain to him and to seek a redress for wrongs done to them, or to seek help and solutions for their difficulties from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I prefer to give you some examples in order to make you understand. We know about Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam and his being able to understand the birds and the insects, the languages of the ants and the language of the birds and so on, we know about that. But now what about, what is the position, what blessings did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have? So when I was doing this number, I observed the following facts, and I'm going to place these examples in front of you. Example number one, a camel once came, a huge camel once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this camel came and fell down at the feet of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began to cry, and he began to mumble some words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood what the camel was saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba ikram, go and call the owner of this camel. This camel is complaining to me, so call him. And so the owner was called, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the owner, your camel is complaining to me that you are troubling it by overloading him, putting heavy loads onto him. The load on your camel is more than what this camel can bear, and it causes him pain and grief. Fear Allah and do not overload your camel, and do not be unjust to your camel. This hadith that I've quoted to you, or this example, is taken from a hadith of Imam Bihaqi, and it is narrated by Hammad ibn Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The owner of this camel then admitted the injustice, and he made tawbah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what this camel is telling you is haq, it is the truth. He was surprised, he was shocked actually, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the language that this camel was talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, at his surprise, he said, look, it is true. Whatever this camel is telling you is absolute haq, it is the truth, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have been unjust with him. I put on heavy loads onto him. I am sorry. Allah make me maaf. I'm very, very sorry for what I have done. I will not do it again. That's the first example. Second example coming up is as follows. A person wished to slaughter a sheep, and this person was the owner of the sheep. So he wanted to slaughter, he wanted to make qurban of this sheep, and rightfully so. But what the sheep did, the sheep saw that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nearby. So he escaped and he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to say that my owner wants to slaughter me. He wants to make qurbani of me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the sheep. He said, O sheep, have patience with the order of Allah. Allah has commanded your owner that he has the right to slaughter you. So what are you moaning about? This is, he has the right. Be patient. So the owner came searching for the sheep, and he found the sheep next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the owner. He asked, is this your sheep? He said, yes. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, slaughter the sheep with love and with care. This example I've taken from Musannaf of Abdul Razzaq. This is a hadith kitab called Musannaf of Abdul Razzaq, and this hadith is contained there about this particular sheep that came running to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained that its owner wants to make qurbani of it, he wants to slaughter it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be patient, this is Allah's command that sheep must be slaughtered, and so you make sabr, and that is what happened eventually. And the owner, but what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the owner, do so, but do it with love and with tenderness and with lots of care. That's the second example, how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the language of the sheep. Example three is as follows. The third example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the wilderness when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a voice. Clearly he heard this voice. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked around, who's calling him? But he could find no one about. He thought, clearly in human voice, he heard somebody saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked left, looked right, looked in front, looked at the back, he can't see anything. But since he had heard it clearly, he looked carefully, and upon close inspection, he saw a deer tied to a tree. When he looked carefully, he saw that there's a deer, and this deer is tied to a tree. The deer then spoke to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu went near the deer, and the deer then spoke to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the deer said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please come closer to me. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached closer to the deer and inquired, what is the problem? Oh deer, what is the problem? The deer explained. He said, or she said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have two children in this wilderness. Will you please release me so that I may go and feed my two children milk? I will do so, and I will return immediately thereafter. The Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, amazed, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the deer, will you certainly return here after feeding your babies? And the deer replied, Allah will certainly punish me if I break my promise to return here. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam believed the deer. He spoke in Arabic to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clearly. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then released the deer, and after a little time the deer returned, and the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tied the deer to the same tree as before. This hadith is in the Kitab of Imam Tabarani, and it is narrated by Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. That's the third example of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could understand the language of the animals. Now I give you a fourth example. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anha related that they were in the company of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, when they noticed two little birds in a nest, and the nest was hanging in a tree. The Sahabas then caught the birds that were in the nest. The mother of the birds then approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and complained by adopting a very sad posture. The mother of these two little birds or two babies went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and began to cry and showed great sadness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahabas, who has taken the children of this bird and caused her such anguish and such pain? The Sahabas responded and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we took the two birds from the nest. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, return these birds from where you removed it. The Sahaba Ikram immediately did so. This example is in the Kitab of Imam Baqi and also in the Kitab of Abu Naim. These are hadith kitabs, that of Imam Baqi and that of Abu Naim rahmahullah. So this is another example of how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how these birds used to communicate with him, and he understood what they were telling him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the facility to understand, and then this mother came and complained that the Sahabas have taken her two children, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw to it that they were returned to the nest and put back from where they had found it. Now just imagine how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with that ability. Example 5, the fifth and last example that I'm giving you is as follows. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to a donkey and heard and understood its complaints very, very clearly, and he had it rectified. The donkey came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained and gave a complaint, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then immediately saw to it that complaint was rectified. Now in the hadith it doesn't tell us what was the complaint, but it only says that a donkey came and complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that complaint was rectified by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this hadith is contained in Ibn Asakir, and it is narrated by Ibn Manzur radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These five examples suffice to show how extraordinary was the gift and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an elevated and high status was his rank among the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah. Now we move on to fact number 83. And fact number 83 is as follows. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam was blessed with the ability to comprehend the language of some of the animals, birds and insects and so on. But Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that animals communicated to him and spoke to him in the language of human beings, in other words in Arabic, which everybody could understand. For example, a wolf gave witness of the risalat of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in loud, clear Arabic language and invited people to accept the deen of Islam. This testifying and witnessing in human language, which was clearly understood by everybody, is recorded in the book of Imam Bihaqi as narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Similarly, a crow, that's a bird, a crow also bore witness of the truth and veracity of the risalat prophethood of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in pure Arabic language. And this is recorded in the hadith kitab of Imam Tabrani rahmatullah alayhi and in the hadith kitab of Imam Bihaqi rahmatullah alayhi. And it is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once a wolf came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and later complained about not receiving sufficient to eat. This animal was speaking on behalf of several other wolves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to the Sahaba ikram and he said to them, "You make some share available for the wolves from your sheep, or leave them to themselves." The Sahaba Ikram left it to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to decide. The Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then addressed the wolf, and this wolf understood and ran away to join the other wolves. In other words, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made some food available for them, and the Sahabas then went and left a few sheep for them there for the wolves to eat. This hadith, as I said, is in the kitab of Imam Tabrani and in Bihaqi. These remarkable accounts further bear out the outstanding status and elevated role of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such unique and extraordinary miraculous gifts. These by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am giving these examples. It doesn't matter to me, it makes no difference what kind of times we are living in. Modern times, times of science and technology, whether people believe in this or not, or whatever. Muslimin. All these actions and these miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are absolute haqq. Never in my life, in these 40 years of teaching, have I held back on anything extraordinary that has been performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The miracles he performed are haqq. These are examples I'm giving you which show to us what kind of a person was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what achievements he had. He was not an ordinary person. A Nabi and a Rasul is never an ordinary person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them abilities, miracles to perform certain things which are beyond the scope of man. And we need to show and have iman and faith in these, no matter what our personal outlook may be, but we need to accept this. We move now in the remaining minute to fact number 84. 83 we have dealt, 84 is as follows. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with the ability to understand the language of the birds, which I've said repeatedly. But in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he could explain himself to the animals, and he watched what he wished them to do. In the above fact, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam explained his wish to the wolves, who understood perfectly, and they returned. The wolf returned to his fold satisfied and pleased. They came to complain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they are hungry. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabas to make some sheep food available for them. The Sahabas made these sheep available to them, and the wolves became so happy that they ran away from them because they had been granted. They came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained they are hungry and nobody wants to give them food. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba Hiram, they made a few sheep available to the wolves, and so they were happy and they ran away. Now that is communication. It is a gift, it is a blessing to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you ask the question, how did these animals know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they can go and complain to him? He looks like a human like any other. So how did they know? This is a very special. Remember at the beginning, this is what I was intimating. He is a rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy not only unto mankind, he is a mercy unto all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plants recognized him, the animals recognized him, the insects recognized him, the birds recognized him, the animals recognized him as rahmatul lil alameen, that he was a mercy unto all the creatures of this world. That is how they came to know, number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it into their disposition that is a Rasul, go to him. And that is how they go to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these thoughts into their hearts and into their minds, and that is how they see the signs in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they go to him and they talk to him and they communicate with him. There are several recorded instances of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to the animals and to the birds, and them accepting his version and his verdicts, his decisions. This speaks highly of the uniqueness and special blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Factor number 85 is as follows. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with power and control over men and over jinns. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was blessed with the keys to power and authority over the entire earth, as stated in the hadith, "A'ataytu mafatihul ard." I have been granted the keys to the entire expanse of this earth. This hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and it is narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. "A'ataytu mafatihul ard." I have been given the keys of this whole earth. It is phenomenal how, in the short period of 10 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinah Munawwara, Islam spread widely. And then in the period of the Khilafat, how the deen spread vastly across the earth. And in later years, how the spread of Islam covered far corners of the world, into the most remote and inaccessible areas of the world. No region in the east or the west remained untouched by the spread of Islam. What had taken other religions centuries to achieve was gained by Islam within a few decades. This is in keeping with the announcement, that is, with the pronouncement in the hadith, that the key of this entire earth was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that key began to open up places that had been locked before. This deen of Islam went into regions and areas that is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. No matter how much historians try to suppress, they cannot do so. Now Muslim historians have taken up the story and they have opened up of how phenomenal, I will use the word miraculous, was the spread of Islam. You can never understand how this deen spread in such a short time. We have a few minutes remaining. Let's look at fact number 86. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he be granted a kingdom the like of which should not be blessed to any other after him. That the kingdom that he is given should be very special to him and to him alone. That his kingdom should be a rarity. And so it was, as he had requested. He had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, wahabli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di. O Allah, grant me a kingdom the like of which you grant to no other after me. Surah Sa'ad, Surah number 38, Ayat number 35, verse number 35. Surah Sa'ad is Surah number 38. Such was the unique kingdom granted to Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Now in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, however, the keys to the whole world was granted to him. And the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam then made it over to his ummah, that they become the possessors of the whole of this earth, as stated in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى فِي الْأَرْضِ مَشَارِكُهَا وَمَغَارِبُهَا وَسَيَبْلُغَ مُلْكَ أُمَّتِ مَا زَوَى لِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا زَوَى لِي مِنْهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the whole of the east and the west stretched out before me, and this entire earth as was shown to me, it shall belong to my ummah as far as my eyes can see. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam predict? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the whole of this, the east and the west. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretched out this earth before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes. And it showed that this entire earth was shown to me that it shall belong to my ummah as far as my eyes can see. Now you imagine how true this is. From the Middle East they have gone all over the world. From the Far East, from Asia, Muslims you will find everywhere. Just sitting here in Cape Town, here in the Masjid al-Falah, just imagine. Even those seated in front of me, as well as just think of the Western Cape or of South Africa. Who would have thought how we came here, how our ancestors came here? Imagine, my grandfather came here 1879. Similarly, even before that time, others came here from Southeast Asia. Can you imagine where is Southeast Asia and how these people came here from the Malaysian Peninsula, from Indonesia, Java, Sumatra? Can you imagine? Yes, it was done by the colonialists, but doesn't matter how. But they came here, established masajid, madaris, hufaz are being trained here, ulama are being trained here. What a country this has become for the Muslimin. Is it not strange? Similarly, all over the world, go to Europe, every country in Europe, Muslims are to be found there. Every country in the United States, Muslims are to be found there. North America, South America. Tell me, which country is there in the world where you won't find Muslims? See how this hadith is? As far as the eye stretch, my ummah will be settled there. Doesn't matter how few we are, it doesn't matter. We number, imagine, over 1 billion people are Muslims. That's a huge, almost 1/6 of the world's population, if not more, are Muslimin. Incredible, isn't it? how this hadith has become. Could you imagine it in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Muslims will be found all over the world? West Indies, surprising, there also. Little far off islands of the world, the Seychelles, Mauritius, Muslims are there. Go anywhere, travel anywhere, you will find Muslims everywhere. Alhamdulillah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread Muslims all over. Everywhere the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being made. Everywhere the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being recited. Muslims are obedient to Allah. Salah is being made, zikr is being made, salawat is being made. It seems excruciating to think that the whole world, that the world seems to be contracting for the ummah today. But the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent. And one heavy disaster or calamity sets the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into a panic mode and into helplessness. A nuclear disaster between rival nations could wipe them out. And this is also possible. Already North Korea is talking of a nuclear war. Iran is preparing for a nuclear war. Pakistan is preparing for a nuclear war. Israel is preparing for a nuclear war. Do you think they will leave it if they attack? They will go. And what can happen when a nuclear war breaks out? Can you imagine if atomic bombs start going off everywhere? If one nation attacks the other with the nuclear power, there's going to be retaliation. What happens then? Imagine if the Yahud take it upon themselves to throw bombs at the Middle East or wherever. Do you think they are going to sit still? There will be retaliation. Every nation on earth wants to become a nuclear power. They will wipe themselves out. According to the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ummah shall continue to advance, to expand and to grow. There are millions embracing Islam throughout the world. At the rate of expansion of Islam, do not be amazed if numerous countries voluntarily open up to the ummah and accept the deen and the sharia as their code and their law. This is already in process as millions find peace and stability and security in the Islamic way. This growth is expanding and we can only make dua that we Muslims lead by example. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace us with others who are more capable and more exemplary. So with these words we are going to come to an end to our lesson now. And we are going to look at these particular factors that I've enumerated for you today. And think about this. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how and what is going to happen in the near future. But if Muslims are going to be attacked and oppressed, and it is going to increase, I assure you that the Muslims are not going to be alone. There will be consequences for the West to bear. Yes, there will be, things are going to happen. Muslims are everywhere throughout the world. Yes, because of that, it has become easy for the kuffar nations of the world to blame the Muslims for everything that happens in the world. Every accident that takes place, every act of terrorism that takes place, just put the blame on the Muslims. If Muslims happen to be in that vicinity, immediately they are picked up, they are branded as terrorists, and they are found, generally found. Even if they are not guilty, they pin the guilt onto them. No matter which way you look at it, these are on the basis of there were Muslims there. And if those Muslims happen to be bearded, or they happen to have a turban, or they happen to be dressed as Muslims, that is their guilt. The sign that they have a turban on, or they have a beard, immediately is a sign that they are guilty. So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us and save us from the calamity that lies ahead. But what I can assure you is that Islam is on the march, and the Muslims, no nation on earth can wish the Muslims away. We are there and we are going to be there. The lessons that we're having now, we will continue on Monday evenings after Isha. Spread the word around, and inshallah, we try and get a few more brothers to come and to listen and to enjoy this. We have approximately 120. We are reaching almost 100 now. And inshallah, if all goes well, we have touched on point 86. And we're going on to 87. So we have about 20-25 facts still to do to conclude this. After that, we will make mashura and we will decide what we want to do and which other lesson we're going to continue with. Jazakumullah. We make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. Allah grant us intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah forgive us and all those in our families who are deceased. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy that we receive the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah grant us the highest abode, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Ameen. Jazakumullah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.